Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, Al-Muslim ikhwa al-Muslim. Muslims are brothers of each other. And it should have that aspect within it as well, indeed, because we are trying to focus or look at that divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. لَا يَدْلُمُهُ وَلَا يَخْضُلُهُ وَلَا يُسَلِّمُهُ. He will not leave him alone. He will not do zulm. He will not leave that helping hand towards him. These are the person who are brothers of each other. Al-Muslim is Ahu al-Muslim. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allah. Salat ala Muhammad wa Muhammad.
Then you have how Amir al-Mu'mineen points out to إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ لِيَسْكُنُوا إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ كَمَا يَسْكُنُوا الْقَلْبِ زَمَائِنِ إِلَى الْمَاءَ الْبَارِدِ. It's a beautiful hadith. If one really reflects, contemplate on these traditions with that deeper understanding which we have discussed, that's what it is required. You know, for something, as we said, for something to have an impact, to be useful, to be helpful for us for this journey that we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should have that deeper understanding. One should know its value. When we know the value of it, then we will respect it. When we know the value of it, we will use it the way we are supposed to use it. And that is why you have all of these instructions or manual being given to you. So that you respect, so that you value, so that you take care of it. So if a person knows the value of a mu'min, of a brother, who is, where this relationship is leading to. For example, this hadith says that, you know, mu'min to another mu'min, as they are brothers, it's like how a thirsty heart, so to speak, when he drinks that water and what that brings about to his heart. That's how he feels when he reaches, when he sees another mu'min. I mean, that sort of tranquility and peace. And this relationship is heading somewhere. That's what it is. Musa says, give me Harun with me when I go to Fir'aun. Why is that? Because of all of these, this reality that exists within there, that strength, that happiness and joy. Another salat ala Muhammad. Then, when we look at this aspect of mu'min or brotherhood, there are many explanations given in regards to, for example, what are the qualities that one should have in regards to being a brother, or how one should protect the relationship of brotherhood that exists amongst each other. You know, we have traditions from the Masumeen that teaches us, that helps us, who should you take as a true brother? Who should you avoid? What are those things that will deteriorate the relationship of brotherhood that exists among two brothers? You know, when we pay attention to these traditions, then we will be able to implement this phenomena, this reality into our life. And at the same time, as we have sort of provided that deeper understanding to it, then we will take it, we will think twice before we take any negative step towards it. If you recite one salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, the Prophet said, in regards to loving another brother, loving another brother who is a mu'min, what the Prophet has said and what this will do, just loving another brother who is a mu'min, it says, ala wa inna wudda al-mu'min min adam sabab al-iman. I mean, the purpose and the sabab of an iman for me is loving another mu'min brother. And just my love to that person increases my iman, increases my faith. So now, if we have such sort of relationship in our communities, and we do, alhamdulillah, to a certain extent, that's why we see that how we stood fast to our faith, to our iman. All of these activity that we are seeing in every place, all corners of the world, is because of this relationship of brotherhood that exists. And as this relationship is there, it is just increasing our iman and our understanding and our faith. What is a true faith? In every given place that there is azadari going on, at the end of it, the result of it is nothing but that increase of that ma'rifah, increase of that certainty and iman, on whatever given level that one would improve. So when this truth and this reality, which is brotherhood, is becoming the source of my increase of iman, how careful I would be for that. How caring I would be for that. But at the same time, you would find, you know, majority, perhaps many people who doesn't want to pay its dues, and at the same time, you know, they claim themselves as mu'min, such as we see in regards to an-nazafatu min al-iman. You know, it's going back. If you look at it, you know, this iman projected in different tangible realities. One of them is that brotherhood as well, increase of that iman, because I have to go higher. Then you have nazafat as well, which have taken another form of this reality, which is iman. So when it says that cleanliness is part of iman, that means the person who is mu'min, who have iman within him, he's a very clean guy. And he pays attention towards that. And while doing so, he increases his faith, because as he has paid its dues and attention towards it. So it's that important. But once again, when you look at the state of Muslims in certain places, it's very sad to see that how much they really pay attention in regards to the cleanliness. So now going back onto the hadith of the Prophet here, when we look at it, it says that a person who is a mu'min, because that becomes the sabab, that becomes the reason of increase of iman. And this is what we tend to find in regards to the ashab, in regards to the companion who have came in the service of Abu Abdullah Husayn al-Salam. There was a Sahabi of our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Islam, who asked, "Akhbirni an ashab al-Husayn wa iqdamihim ala al-maut." Inform me in regards to the ashab of Imam Husayn, as they were approaching, as they were taking the step towards the death. Then the Imam replied, إنهم كشف لهم الغطاء حتى روا منازلهم من الجنة. The veil that existed was lifted in front of their eyes to the extent that they saw themselves and their station, manazil, in Jannah. So that means the ashab and the sabab of iman and the increase of sabab of iman, if you put all of these together and try to analyze what was going on in the battleground, in the battlefield of Karbala, you will come to the realization that how come they have reached that maqam and that status, that they could see something that is unseen, something that is not there, but they are able to see that. Because, for instance, this hadith of Rasul, that when they meet each other, when they see each other, there's an increase of iman. So in order to see that maqam, there's a requirement of the increase of iman, which we have discussed, iman-e-akbar, iman-e-azam, so on and so forth. That hijrat, so on and so forth, that it is there. And how one have achieved that is once again that sort of practices, looking at the things that are unseen, paying attention to them, then one comes to the realization of that. And the Quran is full of examples, whether that be the brothers, the brotherhood that existed among the Ashab of Imam Hussein, but look at the story of Ashab al-Kahf. What was that? The people of caves. How close and how tight they were with each other. And in which direction they were going. Although, you know, they had their hidden elements, but eventually, you know, as Noor attracts Noor, as Iman attracts Iman, they all came together for that one purpose. Do you think, you know, the person who was the slave of Imam Hussein, who was a Turk, he was aware of Habib ibn Mazahir, who was a scholar and a jurist, for instance. But somehow, because of that attraction which they had, they all gathered in one place. Because of that Nurani attraction which they had, they all came in one place. And similar state will be set when that Imam of the time will reappear, inshallah. As it says that when he will reappear and give that call, people from all different corners of the world. Qazi Tabatabai says that, you know, they will come by taking that one step or saying some zikr and they will reach there. And Qazi says that I know that zikr, what they are supposed to say. Then with that saying that zikr, they will reach Imam Zaman. From where? From different corners of the world they will go. Because they have focus towards that light, towards that Iman, towards that Noor, towards that Islam, which our Imams are teaching us, which our Imams wants us to learn. So if we are going in that direction, if we are struggling and striving for that, just how as these Ashab-e-Kahf gathered for that one purpose, although they were hidden amongst them, it's their own people, but eventually they came together. Same, the episode of Karbala, we find the same thing happening from far and different places. And even what we have, these gatherings, have that, you know, it makes sense. It's nothing that is foreign, which what we are talking about. Is this a Nuriyanga or Nuriyanga? Nariyanga, right? Yeah. The people who are Nurani, they are attracted to those people who are Nurani. Those people who are Nar, meaning, you know, of hellfire, they attract each other. So what's happening here is something of that accord. So what is required by us is to pay deeper attention to these things and appreciate it and increase our understanding of all of these unseen reality that is dictating this to take place. So the Ashab, they gathered with that attraction of Iman. And not only that they gathered, but they kept on increasing their Iman. They kept on going towards that perfection. That's what happens. When these ikhwah, when these brothers and sisters, with that intention, with that attraction, with that respect of that exists between each other, are together in one place, then they excel in terms of their darajat, in terms of their understanding. And on the day of Ashura, the perfect of the relationship of brotherhood, although that was a relationship of Ma'mun and Imam, that was a relationship of how an Imam should be followed, is the relationship of Abul Fadl Abbas and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That is a perfect example in the plain of Karbala that what brotherhood really means. And at the same time, that was a perfect example of how an Imam should be followed as well. It should be followed the way Abul Fadl followed. And very similar to this was the relationship of the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen. As they say that Amir al-Mu'mineen did not open his eyes when he was born till Prophet took till Prophet embraced Amir al-Mu'mineen, then he opened his eyes. In regards to Abul Fazl, it's the same thing. That Abul Fazl did not open his eyes unless Imam Hussein took Abul Fazl in his lap, unless Imam Hussein embraced him. That is the time and that is the hour Abul Fazl opened his eyes. So and this relationship developed in a very similar fashion as a relationship of the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen. Continuously. And when it reaches that plane of Karbala, it reaches its zenith, it reaches its perfection. That the amount of love that the Abul Fadl had for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As they say that when all or most of the Ashab were dead, all of the Ashab were dead, the family members, the Bani Hashim were dead as well. Here Abul Fazl was all alone and he wants to go to fight and he inquires the permission from Abu Abdullah. There are many stories or there are many records of Abul Fazl and his strength and his chivalry in the history, particularly in the battle of Amir al-Mu'mineen, where he veils himself in one of the battles in which he was with Amir al-Mu'mineen. He veils himself and he fights. And they all thought that it is Amir al-Mu'mineen who is fighting. And eventually when he reaches the target and he unveils himself, they said it was Abbas. So in terms of his courage, in terms of his strength, in terms of his chivalry, Abul Fazl was no one but just like how Ali ibn Abi Talib was. And here Abul Fazl inquires permission from the brother, that, oh brother, give me, allow me that I go and I sacrifice myself for you and for Deen. And here Imam Hussein says that, oh Abul Fazl, if you want to go, why don't you go fetch some water for the little children? The permission to fetch water was given. It was a very hard and tough task indeed, because this wasn't where Abul Fazl is going to a battle. Here Abul Fazl have been given a task to get water. And obviously when a person is going to get water, he will not be faced like how a person enters a battlefield or a battleground where he's fought one-on-one. It seems that he was attacked from all sides right from the very beginning. And however, he cut through the ranks of the Yazidi forces and he went inside the Furat. And he got down from the mount, he got down from the horse. This means that he has killed many and entered the Furat. And he had that opportunity to get down. And he dips the water skin into the water, fills it with water. And here he could have taken a sip. However, as he takes the water in his palm, looks at it, and he recites a eulogy, he recites a poetry, saying that, oh nafs, go fool someone else. The little children of Hussein are thirsty. My master, my Mawla is thirsty. And now when he dips the water skin and he has to make sure that this water reaches the camp of Hussein, this water reaches the children of Hussein, and now he is returning back. However, once again, there was a rain of arrows. There was a rain of spears attacking Abul Fazl from all sides. The Rabi reports that as he was moving forward towards the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and this kind of makes sense as well because there are palm trees near the banks of the Furat, and they say that a person hid himself behind the palm tree and then he attacks the right hand of Abul Fazl Abbas and it completely disjoints, it was completely cut off. And then Abul Fazl take the water skin in the left hand. However, he recites the poetry, if you cut my right hand, I will still support my Imam. I will still support my Deen with my left. And then the left hand was also attacked, was severed. And then he takes that water skin in his mouth. And obviously when you have this rain of arrows coming in, which were embedded in his body, which were in one of the arrow, it says it embedded in his eye, and another arrow really targeted that very water skin. And a beautiful poet have said that Abul Fazl Abbas couldn't figure it out. It has no feeling when his hand got disjointed from his body. However, as soon as that arrow cuts the spear, that is that time that Abul Fazl felt. That was the time that Abul Fazl lost hope. And here, as Abul Fazl was still on the horse, gives his salutation to Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam, gives the last salams, and here he falls down from the mount. As yes, there's no water skin, there's no water left, there's no hope for Abul Fazl. It says that he looks at the heaven, and the voice echoed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, saying that, "Oh Abul Fazl, your desire and your dua, which was that you make sure that this water reaches the Hussein, was an answer. But however, we will make you the door for dua, the door for acceptance of dua. All the hajat that you have, you tawassul to the Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. He will fulfill the desires and the hajat that you have." And here, when Abul Fadl falls onto the ground, there's a dream that is usually mentioned here of Bibi Fatima, who came into the dream of a person who used to recite the Masayib of Abul Fazl. And then in this dream, the lady says that you don't recite full Masayib of my son. And then the reciter, the Mawlana, the reciter said that you recite all Masayib of Hussein. But here the lady replied, "No, my son Abbas." That lady was Fatima. And he addresses Abul Fazl as her son. And here the reciter inquires, "What is that Masayib?" And here she says that when every person who fell from the horse, they had hands to protect himself. But when Abul Fadl is falling from the horse and then he fell onto the ground, he had no hand to protect himself. He fell on the face. And that arrow which was pierced in his eye obviously got more inside, got wounded. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam is seen placing the head of Abul Fazl in the lap of Imam Hussein. However, Abul Fazl doesn't want to put his head in the lap of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein inquires that, "What is it so? Are you disappointed?" However, Imam Abul Fazl replies, "It's not the case, my Afa, my Mawla, my Imam. It is that I'm worried about you. Who will be there to place your head into the lap?" However, Imam Hussein might have replied that, "My mother Fatima will arrive." Then here there was a disgust, there was an exchange of words between two brothers. Here Imam Hussein alayhi salam inquires that, "Do you have any will, do you have any vow that I should fulfill?" Then Abul Fazl replied that, "Do not take my body in the Qiyam, not take my body."